Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the citizens of the Twin Cities, the Millennium Paragon Cities. to another live episode of Paragon Radio. I'm your host, Bogo Man. It's Monday night. A belated happy Mother's Day to all you mothers or mother figures out there. You know, I don't mean cis mothers. I mean the real mothers. I'm not getting into all that woke or whatever political agenda. The real mommies, the real mothers out there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, if I get in trouble for that, boo-hoo-hoo. And it's just a little bit past 8 o'clock p.m. on the eastern seaboard of the United States, of planet Earth. I'm bringing him on right away. Ladies and gentlemen, my co-host. Some people say he's mad. Some people say he's a Viking. We just call him Mad Viking.
Thank you, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea. Flash, the Tower of Sauron exists. It's in Brooklyn.
That's right. I was like, didn't we have that conversation last week? And how dare you tell people Flash?
We had it on Friday.
Oh, that's right. That's right. We had it on Friday. Yes, yes. So apparently, it's called the Brooklyn Tower. And according to some Brooklynites, yes, another fiasco has been created in Brooklyn because it just it looks like the Sauron's Tower. As a matter of fact, somebody went as far as to put the Eye of Sauron right on top. And it fits perfectly. Way to go, architects. Way to go, you Brooklynite architects.
Now, I brought this up on Friday on Dawn Radio because I saw the article. I'm like, holy shit. It's the first skyscraper real. Pokemon, you know as much as well as I do. Technically, this is like the first big skyscraper in Brooklyn. Because Brooklyn's known for skyscrapers. It's 1,000 feet tall, 93 stories, but how they built it, a lot of people are looking at it going like, it's the Tower of Sauron without the eye.
All right. Oh, don't worry about that. A lot of internet people decided to go to the internet and Photoshop the eye in, and it fits perfectly. I found the picture and sent it to the Friday Bunny Night Girl, and we were laughing. It's like, look.
And what even got more funny was someone goes, they're taking the hobbits to Brooklyn door. It's like, wait a minute, that's Isengard. Well, according to the map, you know, of Middle Earth, which according to some people is about the size of New York. So if Mordor is Brooklyn, 100 miles northwest, you head into the Catskills where I am. I'm in Isengard. So I got the Hobbit.
Goodness gracious. So you're in Hobbiton?
Yeah. Well, no. Remember, they took the Hobbits to Isengard.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
You know, that's where the Ents are. Which
that's right.
About it, the Catskills.
So you have Merry and
Pippin. I got trees.
Yeah, you got the forest of Isengard. Lots of trees and tree ants and Ents and Merry and Pippin.
And then as time went on, I go, oh my God, Ghostbusters Day is June 8th. They have to have a Ghostbusters something at the Brooklyn Tower here, and someone's got to quickly make a Macy's Thanksgiving Day size balloon of the Statue of Liberty and have it, or even the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, and have it come down the road to the Brooklyn Tower.
And then I suggested they have to either have a Ghostbusters convention at the tower, or the new movie they're starting to film, do scenes at this tower, either exterior shots, scenes in it, something. It has to be incorporated in the new movie. It's got to be.
Right,
come on.
It is going, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you.
As soon as it opened, I guarantee you he had his location shoot, you know, location, whatever those location people are called, go there now. Go. Talk to them now. Go. He probably had them camping there overnight.
Are you there?
Is it open?
at the very least, Dan Aykroyd.
Somebody, yes, somebody there. Like, hey, you know who we are. Come on, come on. he probably had like had a crate of merchandise. Look who we are. Come on, come on. We got a film here. Come on, you got to be the first movie to film here. How could you not let us? Come on, think of the publicity.
But you know there's also going to be a Lord of the Rings convention at that tower.
I mean, oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah, but
that's
I think Ghostbusters. Yeah, I was thinking that. Yes, it's got to be something good. It's got to be something.
I mean, you know, okay, yeah, take the jokes, but make some money off of the jokes. Come on. I mean,
I'm waiting to see something on Instagram or TikTok where somebody walks in dressed like Frodo and Sam and somebody following them as Gollum. The precious, give it back to me. No, I have to drop it off here. No. Give it back. No, I have to drop it. Excuse me, can you tell me the way to Mount Doom? We saw the tower. We know it's nearby. No. Matter of fact, hold on. I'm looking this up right
now. I'm going like, are you kidding? Need to check out the pilot of Lackadaisy. Okay. I will, not just that right now. But, oh my God, that was, you can't, we say it before, we'll say it again. You can't write, make up this shit. You can't write this.
Oh, that's a great Wikipedia shot. I'm telling you, if you go to Wikipedia and type in the Brooklyn Tower, right, and just click on the picture of it, it fucking looks like it. It just looks like it without the eye. It does. Because it just zooms in on the tower without the other buildings nearby. You know, it's supposed to be like a long-distance shot, but they get up close for it. I'm laughing. It's just... And literally, I know, no pun intended, it towers over every other fucking building. If you want the address, it's 9 DeKalb, DeKalb
Avenue. Oh, God!
Yep.
If I still live in Brooklyn, I could have taken the N train.
Right, we know where it is. You know a real New Yorker when we know how to get there. 9 DeKalb Avenue. Oh, yeah,
take a look at the subway list. Take a look at the subway list. Tell me the N train gets near that area.
Hold on, wait. I'm trying to find a video, see if anybody's done anything with it. Like,
All right.
I'm going to look up the... Yeah, you look that up. I'm doing...
N train... stops. Okay, come on. Unless they changed... Last I knew, the N train goes to DeKalb.
All right, hold on. Here's a video. Hold on. All right, this guy's at the 30th Avenue train station.
They rerouted.
Oh, bullshit.
Oh, okay.
Wow, he's at the 30th Avenue train station, and you can still see how big it is in the distance. Oh, that's all he did?
Okay. Oh, it does do the end train, so just during late nights. All right.
Okay.
But it does the Q and the R and the B. And it's the DeKalb Avenue station is station on the BMT Brighton line and BM 4th Avenue line. I need a visual. There it is. Okay. So it would have to be a late night tour or if you take the N train. If not, got to get on the R.
Okay.
And which one has the R? It's been a... I'm so used with the N because it's like you go to Coney Island. That's easy. Bing. There it is. Well, okay, we go to Coney Island, get a couple of Nathan hot dogs, then we wait at Coney Island for the R and bounce back up. Okay, that works. And now I know where Pogo Man's going to go. You don't have to go to Manhattan, so you don't have to pay all those tolls.
Yep. Why bother? We got our own town. Okay, that video was lame because he just stared at it. He goes, isn't it great?
Okay.
You sit on 30th Avenue platform and just stare at the tower.
All right, now Pogo Man wanted to know where he is according to the map with Mordor. Now, we established Mordor
right.
is Brooklyn. We it's,
right.
it's no argument anymore. I just gotta find an image that's not on Amazon.
No, that's not it. What the hell? Okay, what's going on here?
Yes,
I'll look it up later. I'll try and find it for next week. Oh, well, I tried.
I'm trying to find a map that's not, you know, with Amazon, because Amazon, you get small picture. You have no choice but to look at the small picture. I need a big picture.
Yeah, Alto said, Matt, you have to check out the pilot episode of Lackadaisy.
I checked it out
2 weeks ago. It's really good. What's funny is the guy, I can't remember the main character, his voice sounds so damn familiar, or the voice he's doing, and I checked that, and it's not who I thought it was. I'm going, who the hell's voice is that he's doing for the character? It's not somebody I know, but the voice he's projecting for the character, it's somebody I know, and it's just annoying me because I'm like, well, whose voice is it?
Oh, when all else fails, head to Reddit. Okay, now we're getting somewhere.
What? Who said that?
No. I found a high-resolution map of Middle-earth.
Oh, okay.
Because someone's into Lord of the Rings, the game.
Oh, yes. I didn't think of that.
All right.
Well, that makes sense.
Okay, so let's see. Just first, we have to find Mordor again.
The one place in all Middle-earth nobody wants to go to.
Then it's in Brooklyn.
Yeah. See?
I'm kind of waiting for Mordicus to go, you know what? I feel like going to the States now.
And really quickly, as of this time, nobody has joined us on the steps of City Hall in Atlas Park, beautiful downtown Atlas Park in City of Heroes on the Excelsior service. But in Champions Online, in the WCOC studios, we have myself, Mad Viking, and Alto Mark 7V3 Mordicus.
The Eye of Sauron will not lure Mordicus to come to the States.
Not even the Eye of Sauron. Well, fine.
All right, come on. We're...
Hmm.
There's Rivendell. There's Misty Mountains. Aragorn, Moira.
Wait, are you packing your bags?
No. We have enough evil invaders in Europe.
No. You mentioned the Misty Mountains. Are you packing your bags?
All right, hold on. We'll just make this easy. We'll shrink it down to see Mordor.
Do you get the reference?
Yeah, I get it.
Okay.
Interactive middle. Okay, now we're getting somewhere. Now we have an interactive map. Welcome to the map. Okay. Places. Search. There we go. Mordor. All right, we found Mordor. Okay. So
the one place we don't want to find or go to. But
the Dark Tower. There's the Dark Tower.
Wait. Hold on. You know what? You know what's funny? I keep saying where is Long Island on this map? Technically, Brooklyn is the west end of Long Island. Because you look at a map of Long Island, right? I'm in Suffolk County. Yeah. And that's
nothing behind the Dark Tower but mountains, the Sea of Nernan on the southeast. Yeah, all you are is mountains.
Okay, because this is why. Because Long Island is made up of Suffolk County, and I'm like mid-Suffolk County, Nassau County, which is like half the size maybe, if that, of Suffolk County, because Nassau County is heavily condensed population. They're more populated than Suffolk County, but we have a lot of like farmland, and seriously, it's less densely populated the further out east you go too. Like I'm like, you know, the famous Hamptons. I'm like 20 minutes away from the Hamptons. So Nassau, then you get Queens, then you get Brooklyn. And Brooklyn and Queens are on Long Island. But when people refer to Long Island, most of the time they're referring to Nassau and Suffolk County. Because Brooklyn and Queens are two of the five boroughs of New York City.
Mm-hmm.
But geography-wise, they're located on Long Island.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So I know. I know what I'm talking about. But it's just, it's funny. For the longest time, people wanted to make Long Island its own state. And I'm like, no, you can't do that. What? It's just Nassau and Suffolk. What's the problem? Like, really? Go look at a map of Long Island. You have two of the five boroughs of New York City situated on Long Island. No, we don't. What are you talking about? And they start laughing like I'm an idiot. Brooklyn and Queens are on the western part of Long Island, and you just can't move them. What? So we pulled a map. When did they get there? Oh, they just packed up last night and shipped it over. That's their brain trying to fire up. Remember when you were a kid in elementary school and we learned about New York geography and Brooklyn and Queens were right there? They're right there. You just can't make Nassau County its own state as Long Island and shift out Brooklyn and Queens. You just can't have three boroughs of New York City all of a sudden. This is the problem.
Once again, the talk of separating New York upstate from New York City is still in play.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How are they going to do that?
I don't know, but all I know is it's a standard rule. No matter what the rest of the state wants, New York City votes wins.
I don't get
why. When you stack all the population into very tall buildings,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Guess what? It out-totals the rest of the state.
And what I don't get is the Capitol is upstate.
If you're reading the news and you're going like, man, New York is real messed up. Talk to the city. We're innocent. Long Island's innocent. Upstate's innocent.
Yeah.
Okay, well, hold on. It's Albany, Buffalo, Syracuse. There may be some swing there, but
it's all
New York City.
It's all these populated areas. But like I said, look at Long Island, look at the size of Nassau County versus the size of Suffolk County. Nassau is more heavily populated.
But now we have proof. Like, anyone that said New York is evil, you got proof now. There
it
is.
Yeah.
There's no denying it anymore.
Hold on. You know what they need to do next? They need to build another skyscraper that looks like Darth Vader's tower on Mustafar. The giant tuning fork. That right across the street. That's all you need. And then we'll have the two towers of evil going at it.
Now, hold on. That would either be Queens or Bronx.
I would say... No, I guarantee... No, because somebody said... Brooklyn is noted for its horrible, like, every new project. It's like, why? Why do we get every bad architectural design here? So it's got to be Brooklyn. It's going to be Brooklyn next. I guarantee you this one will be 95 stories high.
Yeah. I'm just going, like, a skyscraper in Brooklyn? Because... Brooklyn's known like is the bread and basket of the population. There, that's the blue-collar worker section. Not anymore, obviously.
Yeah. No, right. They're trying to build it up, right. But isn't it lovely? No, it's horrible. Look at it. It's horrible. Can you imagine like a family, not a family, like a family business has built their thing up there. They've been there for like, you know, like 100-something years, right across the street. And, like, the family, they hate, for some reason, they hate Tolkien. They hate Lord of the Rings. And, God damn it, what the fuck is this shit? Are you kidding me? We got to look at this shit every day.
it's like... All you need now is Hogwarts, and that'll take care of the rest of the population.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you need the Hogwarts. Good Lord. How the hell are you going to build a Hogwarts? That's
Coney Island.
Yeah, you need the space for it, but, I mean, think about it. It's a giant boarding school.
Yeah, Coney Island.
I guess so, yeah. Wait, you going to put it on Coney
Island?
How
many condos? It's like, how many times condos get built, get destroyed, get built, get destroyed, get built, get destroyed?
But you
I mean,
know, the fact
I
guess
that
you
they
can
took
make
down the original Coney Island amusement park at Astroland. Sin! I don't care. Sin!
Wait, when did that come down?
The only two remaining things is the Wonder Wheel, the Tower, and the Cyclone. Astroland's been gone for a while because when I moved up to New York, I'm going like, I got to take my kids up here. I got to.
Right.
I got to. And then I heard, last year. What? This is the last year. Are you kidding me? And unfortunately, when I heard it was last year, we're talking, oh, by the way, it's also the last day. Huh?
Oh, my God. Because I've been there. When I was a kid, I went. My dad took us once. We had relatives near there, and we went over there. We checked it out.
Oh, they put a new park, Luna Park now.
No. I went to the original. We walked through there, but nothing was really open. But we walked through it. Just say we walked through it. You know, I was like, mm-hmm. And nothing was really open. And my dad was all like, why is nothing open? It's like, sir, it was raining all day. Everything's wet. It's not safe to open any of the rides.
You can open up the water flume. You're not going to make a difference there.
I know, yeah.
The log ride, come on.
And it was just like, come on. And, well, his uncle was, my dad's uncle was like, it's, look, it's okay. They got to see it. It's like, you'll be back another day. And fortunately, yeah, never went back. But it was just the fact we got to see it. It's like, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's
all right,
stop.
So, okay. So basically, we go to Coney Island, get on the yard, go to the Decalb Avenue,
right,
and go, damn.
Well, it's, wait, now this tower, is this like a hotel? Is this a business building or is it a hotel?
I think it has a connection to a bank. If I remember the article. Hold on. I'll see.
I'm going to look. So.
Excuse me. All right.
It's a primary residential skyscraper. Primarily a residential.
Of a five-star hotel.
Breaking up.
It's because of the website.
Okay. It has a dime savings bank.
Hold on, I got to grab my phone so I can read this.
All right.
Yeah. Keep reading. That's the same one.
Well, I'm on Wikipedia, so. Just trying to see here. Okay, so there's a dime savings bank on the bottom, and then there's a residential section.
All right, now I can read it, and I don't have to worry about you breaking up. All right, five-star, luxury amenities of a five-star hotel. Residential building, now the tallest in the borough, inspired by the landmark dime saving bank it's attached to. Been nicknamed the Dark Tower, the Temple of Doom, Sauron's Tower minus I. It started accepting rental applications and affordable housing lottery applications in March.
But how
now,
much is
they
it?
They say affordable in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I want to point out, and Poku can vouch for this, that's a contradiction in terms.
Right. Because affordable means six figures a month.
Okay.
There you go.
The headquarters of an evil corporation in a superhero movie.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like the eye of Sauron.
Uh-huh.
The building was designed by SHOP Architects, the team behind the world's skinniest skyscraper in Billionaire's Row. They were trying to dub it the Empire State Building of Brooklyn. So when you look at the obelisk, it looks solid.
I'm looking
not
at
glass.
What the residential. I'm looking what these residential things look like. Holy shit! Affordable, my ass.
And they're trying to save it, and now we're gonna get Mordecai's angry here. By comparison, the historical comparisons to the Eiffel Tower. And I quote,
3, 2,
the Eiffel Tower
1.
Is a great example of a structure that was completely despised. The moment it was built and conceived, it was critiqued for its hostility to the skyline of Paris. Now it's an unimaginable to think of the skyline of Paris without the Eiffel Tower.
Hold on. I'm waiting.
And I got kicked out.
Well, that was Mordecai's kicking you out. You didn't want to hear anymore.
No, on City of Heroes.
How'd you get kicked out of City of Heroes?
I got kicked out of City Heroes.
I'm still here.
Hold on. So I guess we get to call shenanigans.
You're still on my
team.
You're still on. Nope, you're still on the team. You are still on the team.
Side of the city that was demolished, 227 Duffield Street, a stop on the Underground Railroad, revamping Fulton and Abbey Square Malls, which once brings focal points to the Brooklyn's hip-hop community. So they took
apparently
the hip-hop community area to put in, yikes, rentals.
Well, you know what's funny?
At $3,407 a month for a studio, $4,350 a month for a one-bedroom.
Okay. I told you.
2 months
expensive.
Free rent.
Really? Well,
yeah, in other
still
words, you get 60 days tryout. Prices for the condos
okay
range.
Go on.
$875,000 for a studio to $8 million for a four-bedroom.
I told you. I told you. Who the hell wants a... If you can afford $8 million for a place, buy a fucking house. Holy shit.
To quote the movie Friday, damn!
Think about it. Okay, Lovebot bought small concrete and wood for zero prestige. Why? Lovebot's doing something to the base.
Oh, yeah. He's been having fun ever since they added those new things. So I'm like,
what new things?
I'm not going to. Oh, yeah. Whole lot of stuff for base stuff.
Who is this Lovebot person? Do we know them?
That is Wolfgang.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay. Okay, Wolfgang, that's fine. That was my question. I was thinking, I was like, this Wolfgang better be a Wolfgang incarnation. Oh, I was gonna,
but,
I am taking the concrete and I'm taking the small concrete and the wood. I'm going to mix them together and make voila. Uh huh. Great, great.
I did see one good comment in the New York Post comment. At least it's something different. At least it's not a rectangle.
At least it is not a giant. It is not a giant long box. Yes.
Well, you can say that. It has character. So, if you got an urge to go to New York, forget Manhattan now. You got to go to Brooklyn. Go to Coney Island, get some Nathan's, check out the aquarium, check out Luna Park, but ride the cyclone. Botanical gardens. And then get to see the Isauron.
That's right.
Oh, wait a minute. If any place is going to be anything, it's got to be on YouTube. Hold on. Let's see. Brooklyn Tower. Sauron. Oh, it popped up in the search. Exactly as I typed it. On the top of it, wait. Nindakov Avenue here. Okay, I got to take a look. This is when it was under construction. But the top of it, I just want to, I want to take a closer look at it, and just got to wait for an ad to play. Thank you. Go away. All right, the dime savings bank I actually remember when I was a kid. But it looked, I'm just wondering, that top of it. Okay, that's when it was building. I'm going like, did they build a castle on that top of the thing there? I was like, oh my God.
Hold on, I'm getting something here. Okay, in the meantime, Alto
yep,
has...
Yep, that was the picture that Pogo Man had, Alto.
Oh, what, somebody put the actual eyesore on top
yeah.
of the tower? Yeah, yep, yep. Okay, I have here a power variant device called Brilliant Cleave. It's a multi-power. Brilliant Cleave. It has different values if you own the Cleave power. Mm-hmm. Very interesting, Alto. If I can read this to everybody. If you use Brilliant Cleave multi-power, it deals 312 dimensional damage to targets and heals you for 139 health. And it heals up to 5 allies within 15 feet for 70 health. Heals 140 health if your primary target is illuminated. It goes on 90-second cooldown. If you do not own the Cleave power... Now, what is Brilliant Cleave? Executed, if you have recently executed Brilliant Cleave, you get 359 dimensional damage to targets and heals you for 139 health. Heals up to 5 allies within 15 feet for 70 health. Heals 140 health. Lots of heals. Interesting. Very interesting. Very interesting. Yes, and there's the picture I shared. Still. I see you. I see you, and I see you, and I see you.
All right. It's inevitable, though. It's going to happen. Someone is going to be walking into that dime bank.
Yeah. And do a like a
Fellowship of the Ring is going there.
That's right.
There's enough, you know, people in costumes in Manhattan. Now they're going to be right there. And once again, if you're going to be visiting New York, avoid the people in the costumes. They are scammers.
They are? What do you mean they're scammers?
They'll charge overprice for a selfie on your own phone.
Show us the Cleave, Alto. Show us the Cleave one more time.
It's like your phone, but if you take a picture, you got to give me money. Got to give me money. Give me money. It's like, really?
And I say no. Oh, where's the Cleave? My goodness. That was a mighty Cleave. I don't know what he cleaved, but he cleaved.
He please. Okay. Well, do you have anything? All right, let's update. Here we go. Ship of Heroes. We have no alcohol poisoning.
Yeah, I got nothing. Those, but I got some superhero news-ish. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see. First off, I saw Guardians of the Galaxy 3 last Tuesday. It was an emotional roller coaster. I think it was the best movie in the series. If you haven't yet, watch the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special. You have to see that before you see number 3. Also, you have to stay to the end of the credits. There's a scene at the end.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's always
all the way at the end of the credits. So, what?
There's always
it's good. It's
a
yeah. How dare they do that again? And here's the thing, an article. James Gunn about Guardians of the Galaxy 3, Gamora Confusion. Some people were confused about which Gamora this is. This is, all right, so the question is, somebody asked on Twitter, need an argument settled for me. Is the Guardians of the Galaxy 3 Gamora the same Gamora that was in the battle in Avengers Endgame? Yes. In a follow-up reply, he says she didn't really interact with any Guardians except Gamora, and he meant Nebula and Quill. She was a bitch to Quill then, too. Yeah, follow-up, though, this is the Gamora from 2014, so she didn't have her character development from the first two movies and the other movies that she was in with them. So,
if you remember the end of Endgame, they meet, he gets kicked in nuts.
That
should have said it
and
all right there.
Right. Watch the movie. So there might be some hope. Who knows? That's all I'm going to say. There's some cool stuff. Like I said, it's...
I can already hear if I actually try to get rain and bring her here, like, I don't care. I'm still not going up. You know I'm afraid of heights. I can hear her a mile away. It ain't happening.
Right.
Now you're going to put me on something that... Remember, she doesn't like Lord of the Rings. She doesn't... I still remember you going, what?
Yeah, that's right. Okay, here we go. Next, we're going to DC for a minute. DCEU's gods may have been Kryptonians. During SnyderCon 2023, Man of Steel director Zack Snyder answered a fan question about Supergirl. Where is she? This should bring her on if she's around. About Supergirl, which led him revealing a surprising idea for the DC Extended Universe's gods. An audience member ended up asking Snyder about how there may have been hints at Supergirl / Kara Zor-El in the DCEU. Visual effects supervisor John DJ Desjardins followed up by asking Snyder to tell the real story, leading the director into a discussion about how the DCEU's gods may have been Kryptonians. It's this whole thing with the gods and Ares and Zeus and whether or not Zeus was really possibly a Kryptonian, Snyder revealed, so that Wonder Woman's powers, anyway, you can sort of see where that's going because the whole thing of whether or not magic and the gods, you may have a mythology built up of where do gods come from? What is this about? So anyway, we have played around with that quite a bit. Desjardins then added that within the idea, Ares, played by David Thewlis in 2017's Wonder Woman, was responsible for the Kryptonian scout ships crash landing on Earth ahead of the events of Man of Steel. And Ares was the one who caused the scout ship to crash and be in the ice, Desjardins stated. He killed his crew. The DCEU began with 2013's Man of Steel, which portrayed Kryptonians as an advanced alien species. Snyder's movies often portrayed Superman as being seen as a godly or messianic figure. So the potential connection between Kryptonians and gods lines up with the DCU's existing themes.
And now,
okay, check this out.
The new 52 situation a little bad because, you know, remember, Wonder Woman and Superman during the New 52 was the couple. And now it could have been, I'm my own grandpa.
That's true. You know, I didn't read the New 52. I was out of comic book reading back then. And I'm glad I was. I'm glad I... Okay. So, Deadpool 3 working title has been revealed for the MCU movie. According to the Cosmic Circus, the Deadpool 3 working title has reportedly been set to Tidal Wave as Marvel Studios continues to prepare for the impending production start of the highly anticipated superhero threequel. The Ryan Reynolds-led MCU movie is slated to arrive in theaters on November 8th, 2024, still over a year away. The current theatrical release date will pit the film against no direct competition. However, will still be debuting in the same month as Ridley Scott's Gladiator sequel, starring Oscar nominee Paul Mescal. Now, the cast of Deadpool 3. Deadpool 3 is directed by Sean Levy, who previously worked with Reynolds in Free Guy and The Atom Project. It's being written by Rhett Reese, Paul Wernick, and Zeb Wells, from a previous draft by Bob's Burgers duo Wendy Molyneux and Lizzie Molyneux-Loughlin. Joining Reynolds, Merc with a Mouth, are returning cast members Leslie Uggams as Blind Al, Marina Baccarin as Vanessa, Rob Delaney as Peter, Karen Soni as Doppinder, and Stefan Kapicic as Colossus. The film will also feature the long-awaited team-up between Deadpool and Wolverine as Hugh Jackman comes out of his superhero retirement to reprise his iconic X-Men role. Emma Corrin and Matthew McFadden have also joined the cast in undisclosed roles. Marvel Studios president Kevin F. assured fans that the threequel will remain as an R-rated film just like the first two movies, which would make it the studio's first movie with said mature rating. It will serve as the first movie in the Deadpool film series that will be released following Disney's acquisition of 20th Century Fox. The first two Deadpool films were both box office successes, earning a combined worldwide gross of over $1.5 billion. They were both written by Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, with the first one directed by Tim Miller and Deadpool 2 directed by David Leitch.
20th Century Fox is now falling to... Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. They got everything plus Fox News.
That's right. Thank God. Can you imagine Fox News under Disney?
ABC's already there.
But just saying, Fox News is, you know, look. I'm thinking of the Fox News to their political agenda. It's just weird. It's just, you know what I mean? It's just they have an odd political agenda with their news, you know.
Well, either way, it's like, yes, everything will be Disney soon. Taco Bell,
yep.
In other words, Demolition Man got it wrong. It wasn't Taco Bell. It was Disney.
That's right. It was Disney. The House of the Mouse shall reign supreme. I will reign supreme. I will be the emperor. Who will stand to fight me? Nobody.
Now that, interesting you brought that up here. It was like...
Oh, God.
Yeah. They were talking about the, you know, another, you know, hoping that they would remake or do a sequel to Roger Rabbit. If it was done in this time,
yes.
You would have to think there's only two companies, Disney,
right,
Warner Brothers. Everyone else in one
right.
form or another is owned by either Disney or Warner Brothers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
So you imagine, like, the government of Toontown now, you'll have Bugs and Mickey at the...
At opposite ends of the town?
Yeah.
That'd be funny.
I mean, you know, or what about Nickelodeon? Well, Nickelodeon's kind of tied in with Comcast, and Comcast is tied in with Warner Brothers.
All right.
And you know what I found? I just found out recently. The Rugrats are making new shows on Hulu because somebody said that there was a theory going around that, what's her name? Angela? I can't remember the names. Of the kids, the older one, mm-hmm. the girl, that all the other kids were dead, and she was playing by herself, imagining them all.
That's been a long-standing conspiracy,
right,
cartoon theory.
Like, right, but then it was like, wait a minute, what about Dill, and what about the newer ones? And somebody said she made it up because she was getting bored of the fact of the status quo.
Yeah, that, like I said, Angelica. There you go.
Angelica, yes. Yeah, Angelica, okay. What did I say, Angel?
Yeah.
Okay.
But,
I haven't watched those in years.
I forget the channel. I want to say it's something Federation.
Okay.
You know, where they have like cartoon conspiracies. There we go.
Okay.
I can't talk. Yeah, and that's been a long one.
Oh, I was just saying. I never heard of it. I'm just bringing it up. I was asking if anybody heard this. That's all. Jeez.
Yep.
Pardon fucking me. Also, on a side note, exploding piano joke. Okay, what is that supposed to mean? Exploding piano joke.
All
right. Alto, you care to explain this one?
Well, you got 2 minutes
joke?
Because I hear the pitter-patter of little feet.
They're walking. Oh, God, here they come dressed like the Rugrats. How do you guys get these costumes so fast?
Hey, at least they weren't members of Sauron's army. This.
Oh, good Lord! No, they. Oh, no, no. They have those. I don't. I might know it. Oh, is that the one he's playing the piano? He hits the wrong note and it explodes.
Dun 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 dun. Dun, dun.
No! You're hitting dun, the dun. Wrong note. Oh, and by accident. Bugs Bunny hits the wrong note. Daffy comes over. No, you're playing the wrong note. It's this one. He hits it. All of a sudden he goes, uh-oh. And it blows. Is that the joke? Is that the one? I bet you that's the one. Is that it? God damn it, can't you? This yet. Oh, God.
This.
I want to slap him. I want to slap him.
Well, it's time. And hopefully...
Hold on. I'll say when it's time.
Okay.
Sorry, I just want to look this up. When I am done looking this up, then it's time.
Hopefully.
I see Bugs at a piano.
Yeah.
Yeah. It says I can't look it up.
Hopefully
<What the hell?
laughs> we have a better choice from the Golden Age than last week.
Hold on a minute. Did I not do this right? Oh. Try this again. Alto? Why is it not working? Oh, it's.
Anyway.
Oh, it's Family Sam.
Many a person from the Warner Brothers has done that gag.
It's Yosemite. Yeah, it's the one I thought it was. But it's Yosemite Sam. But it's fun. He's playing it. He's missing a note. No, that's not it, you dang varmint. It's not. I know he's not saying it, but I know you got to throw in dang varmint with Yosemite Sam. Meanwhile, you see the wire and the bomb hooked up to the key, and he's going over it. He don't like this. Hold on. Why, Alto, is that what you want us to do to you? Yes, Alto, I just explained the bunny joke before you sent me the link. So I do know the joke, dang varmint. Okay, Alto, why are you bringing up the exploding piano joke?
Case of, and now for something completely different?
Still a funny gag to this. Thank you. Thank you for wasting 5 minutes. All right. So is the red herring joke at Monty Python. Oh, you don't know the red herring joke. Come here, Alto. Let me explain it to you. Come here, Alto. I'll explain it to you.
Anyway.
He's not coming. He knows it. Yes. Come here. It's you tell somebody I have a red herring. A what? Slap! Okay. Yes. Bring forth from the tomb the tome. I need to read. See, I got it right that time. Okay. We're just going to say it like this. That doesn't work on me. I'm a grandmaster of Taekwondo Leap. But Alto, boot his head. Boot to the... Funny thing, when I created Pogo Man for Champions, the tabletop role-playing game, that skit came out 2 years later. And one of my friends was like, I was at the store, somebody played this for me, and I bought the tape, you have to listen to this. I'm like, tell me that's not for this character. Like, what are you talking about? He's like a grandmaster. I go, I know, we were talking about that on the way home. We listened to this skit the whole way over here. We had to bring it over. Because we were getting ready to play. I'm like, that's fun. I was like, that's funny. So here we were in high school. And I think because I was a junior in high school and I made them back in the 80s. And I think the summer going into my junior year of high school. And this came out, and I think I was a freshman in college and they found this thing. To be fair, I don't know when it came out. But we found this kid 2 years after I created the character. What was that? What the hell was that?
My throat.
No, not you, Alto. He threw some, I don't know what he threw. Anyway, back to this. We'll discuss this later. Folks, if your supervillain arch nemesis or nemesis-ies, nemesis-eyes, Natalia Comstock has joined us. Hello, Natalia. If one of your, bad guys you fight is in this book, you need a serious upgrade. For these are oddball criminals from comic book history. These are members of the Legion of Regrettable Supervillains. And tonight, as always, we start with the Golden Age.
Okay. After last week.
What? After last week, I'm just making sure. Yeah, it was after he, she. Oh, my God. That was fun. Okay. Cool. Oh, my God. Okay. This one is an enemy of Ibis, the Invincible. It is created by Bob Hebert and a wonderful, an uncredited writer.
There we go.
Here we go. Anytime it's an uncredited writer, you know it's bad. It debuted in Wiz Comics number 34 of Fawcett Comics, September 1942. Just the fact
Wiz
it was
comic,
in Wiz
huh?
Comics. Wiz, W-H-I-Z, and an uncredited writer. Oh, what a great combination. How it's defeated, handedly. Oh, or handily. Oh, either way. Ladies and gentlemen, its catchphrase is a rude gesture. I give you the horrible hand.
Oh, boy.
Goodness me. Sometimes, Sometimes evil is so powerful within a villain that not even an entire body is required for evil doing. In at least one case, all a terrible force for wickedness needed was a disembodied hand. Detached body parts are a fairly frequent staple of comic book baddies. On several occasions, Superman, Supergirl, Aquaman, and Batman, just to name a few, have all fought giant independent hands, feet, eyes, and even mouths. The villainous wizard Trug, T-R-U-G, was a frequent foe of Ibis the Invincible, an ancient Egyptian wizard who awoke in the modern day after 4,000 years of uninterrupted sleep in his tomb. Dedicated to battling evil with the power of his almost omnipotent Ibis stick.
Tech to see brains on hold.
An Ibis stick and a horrible hand. What a combination that makes. I thwart your Ibis stick with my horrible hand. No one's on hold. There's Bloody Wolfie. Hello, Bloody Wolfie. Okay. No, not an horrible hand. A horrible hand, I'll tell you. A horrible hand. I don't want to know how. It performs miracles. Oh, God. Med?
Yep.
It performs miracles of white magic.
White magic.
White magic.
Better just find this quickly. Go ahead.
Yes. No, he explains, the ancient magician at one point destroys Trug's sorcerer's skills. Seeking an alternative means of mayhem, Trug visits the stately home of Crowley Thorne, a black market broker for sinister sorcerers. There, Trug finds himself in the possession of a disembodied, floating, and malevolent red hand, trapped within a modest metal bird cage. Crowley describes the massive mitt as the hand of a devil, capable of receiving and obeying commands. What can a demon hand do for a malevolent menace like Trug? Strangles enemies? Steal great treasures? Scratches back? Well, he gives the first two a try, sending the hand to rob the state bank, and then, in a complicated follow-up, to frame Ibis for the murder of a police sergeant. While Ibis is extricating himself from jail, his partner, Taya, is vulnerable to Trug's desire for revenge. Commanding the hand to throttle Taya, the wicked wizard is interrupted by Ibis's timely intervention. Ibis stick, he commands his powerful weapon. Send flames to scorch that devil thing. To Hotfoot, well, Hot Hand, that Ibis delivers, then sends the devil hand scuttling. After encasing the five-fingered Fink in a globe of impenetrable crystal, Ibis finds capturing Trug to be a simple matter. Later, Ibis disposes of the hand, although not by the most secure method. I'll bury this hand of horror and hide all traces, he explains, as he digs into the dirt. Let Mother Earth keep this secret forever. That's a good solution until a hungry dog comes along and digs it up. But it'll do for now.
Boy. And now I think of the hand pet from Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Oh, good Lord. Yes. Okay, our next one.
He's going to be humping Carl soldier all the way through.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yeah, now I fully, I was like, wait, do I remember this? Yes, now I remember. Oh, my God. Okay, is an enemy of the Fighting American and Speed, the Fighting American and Speed Boy. Wow. Okay. This one was created by, Joe Simon and Jack Kirby. Debuted in Fighting American number 2, Prize Comics, July 1954. Favorite franchise restaurants. Red Robin and the Ground Round. The quote, I go wild when I'm close to money, especially when it's somebody else's. The villain's name, Round Robin.
Okay.
I don't make them up. Okay, the greatest and best-known creation of the long-running collaboration between Jack Kirby and Joe Simon is their shield-slinging superhero and modern-day movie star, Captain America. When the duo revisited the concept during the height of the Cold War, their approach changed. Gone were the dire Axis baddies of World War II, and in their place was a coterie of comical criminals better suited to a carnival sideshow. While patriotic hero, the Fighting American, began as a serious superhero, his satirical shift was, in part, according to Simon, a comical response to Senator Joseph McCarthy's witch hunt against alleged American communists in 1954. Examples include The One-Man Odd Couple, Doubleheader, The League of the Handsome Devils, Comical Communist Spies, Hotsky Trotsky, and Poison Ivan, and the bandit Yafada, who hides the secret of Yafada's mustache. And don't forget Yafada's sidekick, Yamada. Okay. I made. Come on, you know it's got to be there.
Yep.
Another such hoodlum was Round Robin, a corpulent crook whose means of escape often involved rolling down inclines at tremendous speeds. There's never been a criminal of his type before. He's the fattest, trickiest, most untrustworthy devil of them all, observes the Fighting American. Tricky indeed. Before his debut story begins, the balloon-type scoundrel and sackful of sheer menace has already robbed Spiffany's jewelry store, ransacked the vaults of Bag, Burrow, and Steel, and swiped the solid gold underwear off Texas oil tycoon Yakima Fuldoon. Capitalizing on a tap placed on the police commissioner's phone, Round Robin bounds out of nowhere and slams a Fighting American to the ground with one mighty bounce. A jumping catfish, swears our hero. This is like fighting with a mess of putty. Round Robin possesses a parcel of unusual abilities, though how he acquired them is never explained. For example, his heroic opponents notice that the Tubby Terror can't be knocked out. You haven't got any bones, exclaims the Fighting American, delivering a mighty two-fisted blow that only squashes the scallywag's skull harmlessly into his chest. These rolls a fat cushion the force of the blows. In the end, the Fighting American devises a clever scheme. Using a fleet of armored cars as bait, he traps Round Robin inside a truck filled to the brim with skin-stiffening starch. Once the bouncing baddie is as inflexible as a cue ball, he's easy to roll directly to jail.
But later on, Golden Corral came in, and that ended his career.
That's right. He tied him up. Okay. And finally, Aldo's back with his hammer. He really doesn't like these chairs. And finally, from the modern age. This is an enemy of Bloodshot. Created by Kevin Van Hook and Mike Forsberg. Debuted in Bloodshot number 19 of Valiant Comics, September 1994. Attitude toward clowning around, he's okay with it. His quote, never tick off a clown. The villain, Utzi the Clown. U-Z-Z-I. All right, here we go. Laugh, and the whole world laughs with you. Lose every loved one you ever had to organize crime, and the world watches you adopt a disguise in order to deal bloody vengeance on all criminals. That's the abbreviated origin of Utzi the Clown, a heavily armed circus performer who appears to be some sort of cross between the Punisher and Pagliacci, I'm sorry. When the operators of a small but close-knit circus refuse to pay protection money to a gang of mobsters, the punishment is swift and severe. gunmen used the Big Top for target practice, killing several performers, but leaving the man who would become Utzi alive and grieving. Mourning at the grave of his friends, he screams to a turbulent spy, "I'm a clown. I make people laugh. I'm a clown. I make criminals die." Utzi adopts his new moniker and a clown suit adorned with a laughing skull emblem, and then takes to the streets to clean up crime. The severity of the crime he punishes isn't a factor in his decision to exterminate. He's not one to let the low-level crooks and lawbenders escape unscathed. Off-track betting, he sneers before unleashing a torrent of steel-jacketed bullets on the assembled crowd at a mob-owned gambling den. That's illegal. By the time he crosses paths with Michael Lazarius, a.k.a. Bloodline, I'm sorry, Bloodshot. Bloodline? Bloodshot. Sorry, I think you're wrestling. It's wrestling night. Sorry. Bloodshot. Utzi has kneecapped a prominent crook and plans to make an example of him on a stretch of isolated bridge. Bloodshot, who, as you might guess from the name, is something of a firearms aficionado, manages an impressive trick shot that disarms Utzi, prompting the clown to throw himself from the bridge rather than be arrested. "I'd rather join Hoffa in the river," he cries as he leaps to his apparent death. He later returns, this time allying himself with Bloodshot. Utzi's prankishness manifests itself in leading the hero into a pool populated by vicious alligators. He's only playing a joke, but when Utzi goes off the rails and threatens to murder one of Bloodshot's allies, the joke becomes deadly serious. His hostage is able to knock Utzi in the alligator-filled swamp, signaling the end of the bilious buffoon once and for all. And I have some sad news. That's the end of the modern age supervillains.
All right, so I guess let's double up on the golden.
Okay, that's what I wanted. That's what I was going to ask, because we still have some. We have plenty of golden and a lot more, some silver age and some golden. So, okay, we will double up on the golden. Oh, the fun we'll have. And that brings us to a close of this week's Legion of Regrettable Superheroes.
Utzi will find his demise in the hands of Deadpool going, "That's my job!"
Yeah, that's right.
Or the Joker.
No.
He's dressed as a clown. Come on.
Okay, so we have that many left.
I know they made a Bloodsport movie.
They made a Bloodshot movie with Vin Diesel.
Bloodshot
yes,
movie.
I've seen it. Yeah, I've seen it a couple of times. Yeah.
Is he in that? That's the question.
Who?
No,
I see the clown is not in the Bloodshot movie. Nope.
All right. No.
He is not. No. Oh, I'm just looking for something here.
And they give Bloodshot 5.7 out of 10 on IMDb, 31% Rotten Tomatoes, 4.2 out of 5 on Voodoo.
Wait, what movie?
Bloodshot.
You who what? Okay. Okay, so we have, including next week, 6 more Silver Age and 26 more Golden Age.
All right.
But then we have Sidekick, and we have a whole book of Sidekick, so.
Oh, what? Since you mentioned Sidekicks,
yes.
I think the story is still continuing. Where they're doing something with the sidekicks that have been forgotten and forming a team.
What are you talking about? What are you referring to?
It's in DC.
Okay.
And I'm trying to remember who it was. Stargirl teaming up with one of Green Arrow's sidekicks.
Speedy?
And they find they're finding all the sidekicks of the heroes of the Golden Age and the Silver Age, because they also mentioned the Newsboy Legion.
Huh.
Yes. We remember the Newsboy Legion all the way back into the 70s.
Yeah.
They were still active.
Yeah.
So maybe, sidekicks, since they're still doing series at the moment.
Right. So we got, what time is it?
Got about 8 minutes.
8 minutes. Okay. I don't know if I have time to read it this week, but or saving these articles. I'm going to try and read this one first really quickly. This came out April 21st in Overpowered. A massively overpowered about Champions Online's Cryptic says it'll start exploring more inclusive customization options. Before I do that, I want to remind people, on the 17th, if you have Disney Plus, Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania is supposed to hit Disney Plus, midnight Pacific time. I've seen two arguing articles. One says it's definitely hitting, and then somebody put a list out of everything coming out on Disney Plus. It's not there. But then I've seen three other articles saying it's supposed to hit. So
dang it,
maybe
not.
Right, it's supposed to. Because now, Marvel and Disney are saying, Marvel and Disney are saying, 3 months, I forget how many days that, but it's like 3 months after a Marvel movie comes out in theaters, it's going to hit Disney Plus. So there you go. All right, really quickly, here's the thing. Over the weekend of the 21st, Champions Online player tipped us off to a conversation on the game's official forums, in which players are chronicling their multi-year efforts to convince Cryptic to add more diverse, ethnic, inclusive, and POC-friendly hairstyles. Apparently, having been instructed to post these requests in the game suggestion thread, players have submitted 127 images specifically about POC hair, going all the way back to 2016. But even Wakanda-inspired additions to the game since arrived without the obvious hairstyles, prompting these players to wonder whether they were being ignored. Longtime MMO fans will know that Champions Online has a pretty small population and has been in what we consider maintenance mode for years. So, we weren't expecting much of a response here. The game barely gets new content, as it is beyond occasional events and the aforementioned cash shop additions.
New content?
And even is beyond occasional events and the aforementioned. The game barely gets new content, as it is beyond occasional events and the aforementioned cash shop additions. And even the recent downtime didn't net Champs fans any compensation. But we decided to ask Cryptic about it anyway, and to our surprise, Cryptic executive producer Brett Norton kindly provided us this statement about the state of the game and its customization plans. Okay. Thank you for reaching out. Champions Online in 2023 is still receiving updates, including new costume pieces, missions, and story arcs.
Where's the missions and story arcs?
Let me finish this. Our suggestion thread for new costume pieces on our official forums is extremely active, and so not every suggestion gets made into a costume. However, offering players more inclusive options to make characters that feel more like their authentic selves is an area where we could do better. The feedback has been directed to the developers that work on new costume items, and we'll start exploring more inclusive customization options, including hairstyles, that are more representative of our diverse community. That was quote. And so there you go. They're aware, and they're working on it. I wish I had read this article first. I wouldn't have read it. But there's another follow-up. What time is it? Do I have time for this one? All right. All right. This article is called The Mop-Up. Champions Online Ups the Ante on Monster Island.
Oh, Chimera.
What?
about Chimera.
Yeah, I think that, but... yeah, okay, with a name like Monster Island, you wouldn't expect this Champions Online locale to be a walk in the park. And in fact, the region's open mission just got an upgrade with new rewards. For some time now, you've been able to travel to New Gornish and defend it from attacking Manimals. That much is still the same, but the mission will now have new rewards and a harder difficulty. Chimera, the final boss that descends on you when you've defeated enough enemy waves, will be quite a bit tougher and require a team of heroes to defeat. So gather your friends and prepare yourself. And this is just the beginning of the rest of the news. Okay, so read on for
final
another round
boss?
Of other small...
Someone's
well, it's supposed to be.
Drugs,
okay. So gather your friends. Yeah, okay. And then there's other news about other games, so, but that's the news from Champions Online.
And we're
so where do you
more...
get this? Well, hold on. But where do you get this from?
I just want to note that you heard Cryptic through that whole speech. We keep getting on costumes, missions, and story arcs.
Right.
And where do they go? Straight to here.
Chimera. All right. So the Chimera open mission on Monster Island has been updated to provide a tougher challenge. We're bringing an update to a classic open mission on Monster Island. Where do you get this mission from, though?
It's a walk in. You form.
Is that
you
the,
go over?
Yeah.
You it's a buzzer looking thing.
Is that by the village to
yes.
the right of the bureau?
Yes.
Oh, that one. Okay.
Yes.
It's the one, oh, it's that, okay, I'm thinking of something else. All
they
right,
just
all right.
upped it. That's all they did, up the power.
But, okay, I have another question then. Isn't there a new hunting lodge in Monster Island?
No, that hunting lodge has been there. They just made it a social area. Like, you know,
really?
Here, WCOC, you can now go in and you don't have to do any mission.
Okay, and that's the Argent one, right? Is that the Argent?
Yeah, the Argent Lodge.
I'm gonna go check it out. Okay, but it's the one like you go over to Bureau 17 when you go to Monster Island, and you go to the right, and you have to go talk to the Elder Elk dude to get some missions. But then there's all these animals coming over, and like, why is the village attacking each other? Defend us, defend us. I say, all right, I'll join in. Okay,
yeah.
That's the mission they're referring to. Okay.
Meanwhile, on City of Heroes, on any server, not just Homecoming, any server, they're making new missions. New
yeah.
missions. New powers.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just lackadaisical, they're actually doing stuff. Okay, you know, the updates as of late has been a little sparse, but just recently, but each time there's a major update, there are at least two new story arc missions.
How come I'm missing them? All right. Anyway, Hell Ward Satan has joined us in City of Heroes. Anyway, really quickly, 60 seconds left. Thank you all for joining us. You guys rock. If you guys aren't joining us, just be me and Mad Viking talking about things we talk about all the time anyway by ourselves. Read those comic books. Mad Viking has disappeared. Mad Viking. Read those comic books. Read those super novels. Watch those TV shows. See those superhero movies. Go see Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 in theaters. And hopefully you can see Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania on Wednesday on Disney Plus. Anything you'd like to say, Mad Viking, in closing, if you're within earshot?
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie. And stay tuned for the Greatest Generation podcast with Mad Viking, wherever he's going to be.
In the bank.
And I'll see all you guys soon. Mad Viking, I have to talk to you this week about stuff.
Yeah.
We got to get a ball whirling on things. And with that, good night, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. You guys rock. Let me get to the studio. All right. I will end the show now.
All right.
You get to the Greatest Generation podcast.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for hosting. I'll see you if I don't. Yeah, we'll talk during the week, hopefully before Wednesday.
Right.